hearts of the children back to the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, the Shepherd's Chapel, 2x4 bear. The star. He's taking names and kicking dragons.
Thank you.
said, in one of the four beasts, David sent the seven angels, seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. This is where God's wrath comes from, just the seven vials, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. That's the first one. God has picked up his power. That means he's about ready to take hold of it. But he is about to. Let's go to Isaiah 24. That's the apocalypse of Isaiah. Isaiah 24. We're going to pick it up at verse 17. I want you to see God's power in this, how he operates, and how he comes forward. And the thing is, I want you to be comforted by this. Because this power is not used against you, it's used against our enemies, as the 23rd elders will illustrate. Verse 17, of the great apocalypse. You can teach the book of Revelation from this very chapter 24. If I could remind you, I'm sure all of you have heard me teach it before, where it begins with, behold, the Lord maketh an empty earth empty. And that's where it sounds like you take a jug with a narrow, a very Hebrew word, and turn it over and pour it out. That's God's emptying it out. Getting rid of what bothers you. So, calling that to memory, verse 17. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Father's taken over. Verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a finger. And shall be moved like a cottage. And the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. The transgressors are those that go against God. You don't. You're in God's service. So you have nothing to worry about this. This is against the enemy. And it's to comfort you to know God's wrath goes to those that disobey him. God's wrath goes against those that go against the very nations of God. Let's go to verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the highways that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And so it is. You know that we will have 10 earthly kings. And Satan will bring 10 kings with him. The 10 that Satan will bring with him are very independent of the earth kings, the earth or our nations that decide to put a leader in it. Doesn't necessarily have to be called a king, but a leader. And naturally, the kings that Satan brings with him, as we're going to discover before we finish this lecture, can make it a little rough on those other kings, though they're trying to kiss up. They're trying to make Satan and his buddies happy. And they get their due. Okay, so we turn then to chapter 11, the book of Revelation. Let's pick up the second. That first one was God takes his power. Now, as we come to verse 18, what is number two? And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come. The
think the nations are being purged. That's the second segment. And where do we go with this? Well, we go to Psalms 2, which you're all familiar with. But there is a message there that's for this very election, very meaningful. The nations are angry. What are they angry about? Greed, thievery, trying to lord it over people, trying to make people into worshiping something they shouldn't. And here we pick it up with Psalms 2. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine the same thing? That means they're empty-headed. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, you know, every nation in the secular sense, if you break out the Bible, they're going to turn their nose up at you. Which we're arguing in faith. They will not accept our Heavenly Father. Now stop and think about that a moment. The leaders of this world will not accept us as authority any longer. As a matter of fact, they go way out of the way to take God's name out of everything. You can understand why he's a little angry. He is ticked. You'll remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah when same-sex marriages took place in Sodom and Gomorrah. He's wearing things away. He is not happy with what's happening now. The heathen are angry. They're angry at each other. They try to take over. They try to drive God out of the way, and they're preparing the way for the pretty boy, as to say, the false Messiah. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cord from us. And God will do that. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. I'm sure that he's ready. He's anxious to get this show on the road. Because, why? They deserve it. Verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. He's not happy, friends. He's coming back. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. That's the true Christ. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth shall be thy possessions. You're going to control. The Lord Jesus Christ will take over one for all times. He is the Christ of everyone. And a heathen here is a non-believer. Verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a pottery vessel. Let me tell you something. Christ is coming back on a white horse. He's not coming back in a baby carriage or in a manger in this little pile of hay. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to take that rod of iron and he's going to put his head. You can rest assured. But would you meet sweet Jesus? I mean sweet Jesus. That's what he's going to do. And you know, a lot of us would remember back when he put together a cat of nine tails and cleaned the house. Well, the house is getting pretty bad if there's a nation. That's going to bring you down. So you might as well get prepared for it. We're not there yet. But we're knocking on the door. Verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Do it right. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. Preach it a little praise God, you have some good, mostly bad. 12 kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled. Blessed are all they that put their trust in me. And so it is. The heathen, they can rage on their own tails. They can break every law of God's word. What they're doing is digging the pit their own demise that they're going to fall into. Because God will not stand for it. Okay, that's number two. Let's go for number three here. Back in Revelation chapter 11. I'll pick it up with verse 18 again, as just read, and the nations were angry. Here comes the third one. And thy wrath is coming. And where is that wrath coming? We find it in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. Revelation 6, 17. Running around a little bit today, for you. My wife couldn't decide to have a random one here, so it's giving me trouble if I can't have a future. So we go with chapter 6, verse 17. Well, pick it up with 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fallness and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? And that's the way it is. I'm just going to give you a little home assignment, Psalm 76, 7. We're not going there now. We're going to go back to Revelation chapter 11. That was number three. Here comes number four. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. That's number four, and usually we all know, we find that in the 20th chapter of Revelation. Chapter 20.
Truth counts.
13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his work.
Twice.
That is stipulated. 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Beloved, it's the death of your soul. They are erased. They are blotted out. They had every opportunity. You always do through Christ. He might to forgive. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And there you have it. That was so funny. It is really, really frightening to me to live in this generation and not have some truth with all the misguidance that takes place in this world. Back again to Revelation chapter 11. That was the word. Praise the Lord. Let's go for the next one. And they shall be judged. That was the fourth one. And that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets. That being number five. God always gives rewards. Where does he get things from? Revelation chapter 10. Go there, we want. Revelation 10, verse 7. And there we have it. But in the days of the voice of the 17th, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, I want to tell you that when it says here, when he begins to sound, he hasn't sounded yet when this is written. It's delayed. The word in the Greek is mono. It means he's getting ready to. He hasn't blown it yet. So there are things, this is why we are doing this lecture today. It tells you what's in between. And it lays it out chronologically. And you have a better grasp of it. Thanks be to the 24 elders, right at the throne of God, that warned us. Go with me then to Amos chapter 3.
The palaces of the land of Egypt. What's happening here today?
and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great people in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. And look at Syria, look at Egypt, look what's happening, thousands on top of thousands. Do you know what they're dying for? Religion. That's mockery, isn't it? Their own religion, quite frankly. And it is a sad state of affairs. But Father always lets us know the creator. And you know what happens on Mount Samaria. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, to store up violence and robbery in their palaces. They can't get along. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down the strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. And so it is. It's going to happen, beloved. You might wonder, wonder what's going to happen. He just told you. He's never going to do anything that he doesn't tell you first. He's going to fix their wagon. And it's coming. We're getting returning friends. Let's pick up the next phase of what the elders would have us know. And we find that in rewarding the servants and to the saints. Beloved, you know who the saints are? The saints, what does that word mean? It's set aside ones. That's God's elect. They're set aside and promoted the prophets. So he's going to reward his elect. Thank you. And of who? You know where you find it at? You find it in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. Book of Daniel, chapter 7. That's in the Old Testament for some of you.
He goes by many names to trick and fool.
He is the deceiver of deceivers. He is the adversary that will come in Egypt and Syria and many other places. 22. Until the agent of David came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Even think he's taking over. But what did Christ, what power did Christ give you even on the first advent? He gave them power over all your enemies. God's saints have an awesome power. And that power is Almighty God. And they are just servants. And they're going to take over. You just rest assured, put it in your book. That's what's going to happen. Verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast which shall be the fourth beast upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, break it in pieces. That is basically one more after the saints did it when 24. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. The false Christ will subdue in 3 earthly kings. Again, this is pretty simple. If you keep Satan's kings, again, separated from the earthly king. Why is this such a diverse king? Because it's of Satan. It's not of our Father. Therefore, you want to be prepared for it. And you have power over it. Why? Because you're a set aside one. What does that mean? I hate to say it, but a saint. Okay? And most of you will fit that role, I guess. Okay? I'll take you, I'm sure you verse 29. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times, and dividing of times. That's 3.5 times. But the judgment shall sit. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it to the end. You know, Christ is going to sit on the throne of God until his enemies are made his footstool. I hope you're beginning to see the position of the saints. I hope you know why the saints are going to be delivered up to witness against this one with the Holy Spirit speaking through you. What a time to live in this generation. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. That's to say the true Christ. Hitherto is the end of the matter, and for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He had a little wisdom, a great wisdom given from God. But we have lived this and seen things come to pass that makes this come to life for us. Now, in closing here in Daniel, this account, let me first explain in case you might have forgotten. This is chapter 8. It's where the manuscripts change back to pure Hebrew. It's Aramaic written. Chapter 2, verse 2, in the middle of the verse, it's in Aramaic, which is the language of the captivity. And then here, meaning what? You're free. This is the way we're free. Listen carefully. In the third year, this is 2 years after prior, of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, even to me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass that when I saw that I was at Shushan, in the palace, which is in the problem. mountains of Edom, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Judea. Where is that? It's important. Where did this take place? You know where the Persian Gulf is? Go all the way up to the head of the Persian Gulf. And this river feeds off into my brain. Right here. So here you have these events that are taking place in Iran are no accident. And it's building. And this is one of the reasons God's saints must have the assurity that God is with us. That we have this victory. There will be, you know, there will be some rough times, but look at you. You're a rough bunch. Deeper than anybody else, or you wouldn't even be in this world as deep as you are. And he's depending on the saints, and you're not going to let him down. You're going to make that statement. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit. How easy can it be? You don't even have to talk. He's going to talk through you. But this thing called this world organization is cutting down. And you're going to have a part in it. You might as well lace your shoes up real tight and get ready for it. Okay, turning to chapter 11, the river of Revelation. That is rewarding the saints. That was number 6. And then, brother, that fear thy name shall be great. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And then the fear of thy name shall be great. They're God's own. And shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That's number 7. And where did we find these that would destroy the earth? Well, let's make a little trip to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1.
Today. We're for all
also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. I want to say that again. In you. And in him. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, go to Matthew chapter 25.
Thank you.